The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
We're reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When John the Baptist heard in prison of the work of the Christ, he sent his disciples to Jesus with this question: "Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another?" Jesus said to them in reply, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind regain their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news proclaimed to them. And blessed is the one who takes no offense at me." As they were going on, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out to the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? Then what did you go out to see? Someone dressed in fine clothing? Those who wear fine clothing are in royal palaces. Then what did you go out to see? To see a prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'Behold, I am sending my message ahead of you. He will prepare your way before you.' Amen, I say to you, among those born of woman, there has not been none greater than John the Baptist. Yet, the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." The Gospel of the Lord.
Our readings today on the third Sunday of Advent are all about hope, which is interesting because 2025 was the year of hope proclaimed by the church, which is now coming to an end. Many philosophers of old noted that there are natural virtues: justice, prudence, temperance, and fortitude. We heard Marcus Aurelius speak of these in the movie Gladiator. They come through reason and habituation. Any reasonable person can acquire and practice them. The church has always embraced the natural virtues, but above and beyond these natural virtues is what our tradition calls supernatural or theological virtues. These virtues are faith, hope, and love. And they come through God's grace. And of these, I want to talk about hope. Hope is the theological virtue by which our lives are ordered toward heaven and the things of heaven as our ultimate good. It is that virtue which pushes us beyond this world, its struggles and conflicts, and directs the gaze of our soul to a transcendent fulfillment. This hope does not reject the good things of this world, but it knows that the ultimate good, the final good, lies in the transcendent realm beyond this one. It's very important to note that hope is not the same as optimism. Optimism is simply an upbeat assessment of the situation here below. But here's the grim truth. From a purely worldly perspective, the right attitude is pessimism. Why? Because in the long run, every one of us is going to die. In the long run, every one of our projects and plans will come to dust. In the long run, nothing in this world finally will satisfy us. As Primo said also in the movie Gladiator, everything is just shadows and dust. The famous German philosopher Schopenhauer, who was an atheist, gave this image for life. There's a man on a raft that's going down a very swift rapids. He's got an oar in his hands, and he's desperately trying to stave off the rocks, and to keep this raft afloat. Down and down it goes into ever more dangerous situations, but he desperately tries to stay on top of it. And then finally, he goes over the waterfall to his death. There we are in this kind of flimsy raft, says Schopenhauer. We're staving off our various fears and failures and difficulties, but at the end of the day, every one of us will go over the waterfall. But then comes Bob Dylan in his song, Series of Dreams. He says there's no exit in any direction except the one you can't see with your eyes. The cards are no good that you're holding unless they're from another world. This is the voice of one who is not optimistic, but who is hopeful. What is the exit? What is the way out? What is the avenue of hope? It is something supernatural. It's a transcendent good that goes beyond all the limits and frustrations of this world. And from our tradition comes Isaiah in today's first reading. It's beautiful. It's poetic. Those whom the Lord has ransomed will return and enter Zion, singing, crowned with everlasting joy. We know that God returned his people from the slavery of Babylon back to Zion, but their joy was hardly everlasting. Soon enough, they were unfaithful again to God, which is how we know Isaiah's vision went beyond the return of the exiles. The blooming of the desert of which he speaks is not a blooming within the context of this fallen world. It's a realization that will occur through the power of God in a transfigured world to come. The Zion of which he speaks is the Zion on high, the heavenly Jerusalem, where through the power of God's grace, we will find definitive ransom and everlasting joy. These readings are about hope, not optimism. They're filled with the theological virtue of hope. Now, some would say that this language sounds like dualism, where the only thing that matters is the next life, and so we should just abandon this world and its concerns. But nothing could be further from the truth. By far, the most dangerous people in the world are optimists. What I mean is those who believe that the world can all be made well here below using only human solutions. Those who believe that life in this world could become like paradise if we just had enough economic, political, or social reform, with enough scientific advancement, with enough psychological development. You want to know the names of some famous optimists? Marx, Lenin, Stalin, Hitler, Mao. Those were all optimists in the sense that I'm talking about here. That is to say, men without hope. If you think all can be well in this world, if you think, yes, the desert can bloom in this world, yes, we can be definitively satisfied in this world, then you will go to any extreme to make that happen. Now, there's the story of the 20th century. Lenin said, if you want to make an omelet, you've got to break some eggs. Well, that meant to him the death of 10 million, 20 million people. We're not even 100% sure. Sure, if you believe you can realize human flourishing in this world, you will pay any price, tell any lie to achieve it. Now, who were those who ironically did achieve the greatest social reform of the 20th century? Well, they were people like Martin Luther King Jr., people like John Paul II, people like Mother Teresa. Optimists? No, people of hope. People who believed who looked to the transcendent fulfillment. They were the ones who effected the most powerful social change here below. The letter of James, our second reading, says, "Be patient, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer awaits the precious yield of the soil. He looks forward to it patiently while the soil receives the winter and spring rains." Yes, the seeds have been planted here, but the harvest will only come in the future. The harvest is something for which we hope in the world to come.